The Lord may help us. Let us turn to Psalm 145 and verses 15 and 16. Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. As we read that Psalm 104 together, the opening of that psalm as it is in 103, and there is the injunction to bless the Lord and give unto him thanksgiving in each of the psalms from 103 to 107. And many, many matters are brought forth whereupon there is thanks due unto God. But particularly in Psalm 104, there is set before us the perfection of God's order and of his providing. It is a wonderful thing if we are able to meditate upon the perfections of what he hath so done. In the early part of that psalm we read concerning the waters that stood above the mountains and how they were governed and directed at his word and by his voice. And then we read concerning these waters, thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over. They are governed of the Lord. And then we read, he sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. In all those things there is a continuing perfection and a satisfaction for all those things that he has made. And one of the verses that seemed to enter especially into my heart was this: he watereth the hills from his chambers, the earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Oh, there's a wonderfulness in all these things. And then he goes on from that thought: he causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. But I don't want to merely go through those wondrous declarations of the psalmist. I want to try and notice, as the Lord may help, that even as all these things are declared to be ordered, but also there is a season for all things. We gather together at this time remembering the seasons. And the seasons are the consequence of his orderings. We read in this psalm, and he appointeth the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. But summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night, were the consequence of a covenant that were made with Noah and that continue until this day. And I want to just consider the orderings of Almighty God and the seasons as they are part of his covenant purposes. When Noah came forth from the ark with his family and with the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, saved from the floods, God's judgment against sin upon the whole earth, he made a covenant with the earth, with the beasts, and with Noah. Summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night shall not fail while the earth remaineth. And further, that the Lord would no more drown the earth with water. And we often refer to the covenants that the Lord hath made, and especially concerning the covenant that was made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and also of the covenant of grace. But I want to notice that that covenant, the covenant of grace made with the Spirit, the Son, by the Father, was made before the foundation of the world, before the things of time had a part and a place. This covenant was made in eternity past. Therefore, it takes precedent over every other covenant. It is an impossibility that the Lord should make that covenant and then make another covenant that would oppose, injure, turn aside, contradict the covenant that he made with his Son and with the Holy Ghost. For For he declares, I will not alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. That covenant was made with his Son and with the Holy Ghost. And therefore every other covenant must of necessity be subsidiary to and secondary to the covenant that was made before the foundation of the world. And if we regard the wonder of these natural things and see the richness and the fullness of the provision, the perfections of that which God hath ordered, if the Lord afford unto us his Holy Spirit and light upon the word of truth, what a meditation there is afforded unto us. No wonder the psalmist is enabled to say, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Yes, he meditates upon all the Lord's doings. But oh, to be brought to view the covenant of grace and the glory that pertains unto Christ, for he that hath seen me, Christ says, hath seen the Father. And we have those testimonies and records in God's word of those who perceived not only the wondrous things that the Lord had done in nature, in creation, in time and sense, but that which was wrought before the foundation of the world in that covenant that was made with the Son and with the Holy Ghost. There are yet, I believe, those who wait upon the Lord, and the word says, thou openest thy hand. When we're amongst our families, and especially when the children were young, we may have had a surprise for them, something they knew nothing about, and we have held it close in our hand. And when we have been so pleased, we have gone to them with it. It's been hidden. And perhaps we've told them to close their eyes. We have something to show them. And we've opened our hand and we've revealed it. And our children have been caused to know not only surprise but happiness and contentment and joy by those things that were revealed. Now the word of God says that he opens his hand and satisfies every living thing. We read in the Psalms also, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And it is concerning these covenant matters that I want to try and speak this afternoon. For we read in Psalm 106, he remembered for them his covenant. In all the things that are about us, we have those evidences of God's faithfulness unto his covenant word. When he made that covenant with Noah, and with the earth and with the beasts, it began there. There was no covenant made after that manner before the flood. But it continues until this day. Now its continuance is the consequence of these two things. First of all, that it was by God's word instituted, and it is by God's power that it is continued. There is no creature that could speak that covenant, and there is no power on earth amongst men or in the hand of angels that can cause it to continue. Its beginning and its continuance is by God and in God. And if the Lord is pleased to open his hand and show us his covenant, or that we might view its beginnings and its continuings, because there are many things that come that will try our hearts and our spirits. But dear friend, be certain of this: that which God hath spoken into being must and shall be performed. We read in another place, being certain of this one thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I mentioned that word in Psalm 106. He remembered for them his covenant. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, we read there how that Adam and Eve transgressed the command of Almighty God and were subject to his judgments and his strictures because of their sin. And I wonder whether we can in any way enter into the solemnity of that time. I believe that the living family of God in some measure know it. There is a time in the experiences of his people when they stand, as it were, in his presence, and they are caused to say, by reason of the light of truth that he has commanded to shine in their hearts, "Against thee, and against thee only, have I sinned." And that's a solemn time. But oh, that we might go to God's orderings, God's appointments, God's times, God's seasons, and perceive that there was a covenant made before the foundation of the world, and that even as there is a perfection and a necessity for all his appointings, for all his seasons, shining throughout the whole of Scripture, is this blessed truth: he remembered for them his covenant. Because he spoke unto the serpent, and he declared unto him that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, and he shall bruise his heel. Now, in the very early chapters of the book of Genesis, the covenant that was made before the foundation of the world is revealed. In the midst of that solemn circumstance, the holy, the righteous, the Almighty God offended by the sinner, yet remembered. And opened his hand. And dear friend, it has been so throughout the whole of the page of Scripture. There has been an opening of his hand and a reordering and providing for the needs of his dear people. When you think of those subsequent events, Adam had tried to clothe himself with the leaves from the tree. And the Lord remembered that covenant undertaking, those purposes, those orderings entered into before the world was, were disclosed before the first blood was shed. Oh, what a remembering. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the Lord opens his hand in mercy and in grace. And he provides for Adam and Eve a covering. The Lord didn't say to Adam, make yourself a coat, a covering. For the provision of Almighty God to the needy, the Lord took of the skins. And the Lord made the coat. Dear friend, have you ever sat and meditated upon those things and been caused to feel your need of God's covering? So that you had to cry out unto him concerning those appointments, those providings, those seasons of his grace when he accomplishes these things, even for the poor and needy sinner. Now, not only did the Lord make the coat, but I found sweet comfort in this at times. Not only did the Lord make it, but he put them on. And don't we each stand in need by reason of our sin that the Lord shall so provide for us? And it may be that even now there may be one dear one amongst us who looks and waits for that season, and perhaps have waited long. And there's that within our heart because of the temptations of Satan that suggest to us that we shall wait and wait and we shall be disappointed or forgotten or left out at last. I wonder what was in the experience of the hymn writer who penned those lines. Can I bear the piercing thought? What if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? And what do these seasons occasion in your heart and spirit? Are these seasons a seasons of trial? But you know the Lord purposes that there shall be a harvest, there shall be a fruit, and when the fruit is brought forth, he will gather it, and then we shall rejoice and offer praise and thanksgiving for his appointments, for his orderings, for his seasons. We shall see them to be most blessed and most necessary and most perfect. I remember a time many years ago when it pleased the Lord to exercise me in a certain matter, and it seemed to be an exercise that went on year after year, and altogether 8 years. And when the matter was concluded in the Lord's appointed season, I began to understand and appreciate, and do so more year by year, that waiting time was the profitable time. Those were the times when there was a bringing forth, when there was a feeling of need, when there was a tenderness respecting his word, when the sips that were afforded we found refreshing, when the word was indeed as food and we found it wholesome and satisfying. The Lord says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. They're much higher than ours." His appointments, his seasons, his providing is far more than we shall ever appreciate. We shall only be caused to wonder at the grace and the mercy that has been manifested to us. And when the Lord so made those covenant undertakings, though those to Noah were temporal, yet I believe there was a remembering of that first covenant. The Lord had made a statement respecting the seed of the woman. And because of that first covenant that was made before the world was, it was not possible that the earth should be drowned and all flesh destroyed. That covenant that was made with Noah was secondary to that covenant made with the Son and with the Holy Ghost. And when we read the lines of genealogy in God's Word, don't turn the pages over and pass them by as though they're not important. Oh, that we might look upon them and be reminded of God's ordering, of his seasons, of his providings. For in every step of that genealogy, this glorious truth is proclaimed. He remembered for them his covenant, the covenant that was made before the foundation of the world. We can see those things fulfilled, and thereby we have the ordering of God's purposes in grace, and there we see the fullness of the provision that he has made even for us. When the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, it was concerning a people whom God should reserve unto himself. But consider that the covenant that was made from before the foundation of the world, has a prime part and place in it. For it was by his seed that all the nations of the earth should be blessed. It was secondary to that first covenant. And I believe that while Abraham looked for the entering in of himself, his seed, into the promised land, yet he was caused to view beyond those temporal things. For our Lord declared he saw my day and was glad. What a wonderful thing that the Lord opened his hand. You see, the satisfactions that applied unto that promise, that covenant respecting Canaan, was not entered into by Abraham himself. But the covenant that was made before the foundation of the world was revealed unto him, and his rejoicing was in consequence of that view of the eternal Son, by whom alone is salvation. And therefore he went hoping against hope. We read concerning Moses, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now he didn't endure because of the things pertaining to the promised land, because he viewed it all. Oh, at a great distance, yes, but he saw the glory of it, the beauty of it. But he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And when the Lord made himself known unto Moses, consider how he opened his hand. He said, I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a covenant-keeping God. For it was that which Moses knew concerning the law, the covenant that was made. And then, when he said unto him, who shall I say hath sent me? I am that I am. We go right back unto eternity. And those things pertaining unto that covenant that was made before the foundation of the world was revealed unto him. And if you then see all the commandments and the law that was given unto Moses to make known unto the people of Israel, when the Lord separated unto himself that covenant people, it was that he might have a witness in the earth that his purposes in grace should be made known. Egypt, Syria, the Philistines, the Canaanites could not have made known those things concerning the covenant and the covenant undertakings of Almighty God. There was no covenant given to them. There was no revealings of the Holy Ghost unto them. It was to this covenant people that they were given. By them his word has been retained through the ages and is come even unto us. But you know one thing that the Lord purposed by that covenant people, that there should be those who experimentally knew of the covenant keeping God in the earth. A It wasn't merely a question of things that they had heard. There were those things that they proved. And they saw God's ordering. They saw his providing. Consider Israel in the wilderness. What wondrous things the Lord accomplished for them. What orderings. Beyond that of nature. So there could be no question that the matter was of the Lord. See how he watched over them and kept them. See how he defended them. See how he fed them. See how he led them. See his faithfulness. For he took not away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night all the 40 years in the wilderness until they came to Jordan. The Lord says unto his people, lack ye anything? Dear friend, if the Lord says to you and me, lack ye anything? Shan't we have to look back upon all his orderings, his seasons, his appointings, his providing, and say, nothing, Lord? And when we see that which he hath purposed, in the covenant of grace, when in the fullness of time, in his season, he sent forth his Son, we read that John the Baptist was baptizing Bethabara, and he saw Jesus coming to him. And he declared, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The covenant that was made before the foundation of the world is revealed in its full and final perfection in Christ Jesus the Lord. There were those that had viewed it. Job viewed it. Abraham viewed it. But here, upon the earth, John testifies to his coming and to his person and to his covenant undertakings. And he declares the authority by which he speaks these things. He that sent me to baptize with water. And he declares that it was upon him whom the Spirit descended and abode. I should be seen and known and declared to be the Son of God. And he says, and I saw and bear record in all the things that Christ undertook while he was upon the earth. Were by God's appointment, by God's providing, and in his season. And when you consider some of those things that Christ was brought to bear, all the sweetness of that covenant when we view him in the garden. And he declared unto his Father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. View the purposes and the providing. See the season appointed. See that which God hath purposed in the covenant that was made before the foundation of the world. And our Lord himself declares, my soul is troubled. And shall I say unto my Father, Father, let this cup pass from me? He declares, for this cause came I unto this hour. Now, in all the things that we have mentioned, though there are innumerable evidences in God's Word, it is disclosed unto us that continually God remembers for his people his covenant. He opens his hand and satisfies every living thing. Now, even as it is in nature, much more in grace, he opened his hand, and by those revealings of his covenant purposes, satisfies the needs of the poor and needy sinner. Dear friend, there is a time when there's been a gathering of these wonderful things that God has provided to give thanks. And the psalmist says, and what a wonderful word it is, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. May he make us each glad. Amen.
Let us conclude this afternoon's service by singing hymn 959 to the tune Fallant 142. Count this as the sands which daily I receive from Jesus, my Redeemer's hands. My soul, what canst thou give? Hymn 959.
is he who can pass by, as again we have it in the prophecy of Ezekiel, when he speaks of Israel. Oh, what a sad kind.